Yo, what up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. Yeah. So, guys, today I have another short script for you. This one didn't birth out of my own brain. One of my friends, actually the investor, which will remain nameless, one of the investors of Fragmented, asked me to write a bit of a sibling rivalry story. He has a big crush, I'll say, on one of the characters from Fragmented, the all-powerful, the all-beautiful, the all-talented Laura DePinho. And so he asked me to write something in which she played two characters. Yes, two characters. That's how crazy infatuated he is with her talent. So he told me to write a sibling rivalry story with twin sisters. And I said, all right, I'm going to go for it. I usually only do things that birth just completely out of my brain. But now I'm starting to take on these writing challenges from friends and stuff like that. And it's quite interesting. I didn't know that I even had the ability to write other people's things, because I write just my own stuff, whether it be poems or whatever. So I don't want to take too long to explain about it. This is a sibling rivalry story between two twin sisters named Lily and Rose, which obviously the title is Lily and Rose. And as you know, everything that's written on this podcast so far has been written by me, Michael Anthony McMillan. So without further ado, Lily and Rose. Interior, Rose's house, kitchen, day. Lorenzo unlocks his iPhone with his face, then hits the camera application, then video. He aims the camera at his wife, Rose, 26, who he looks at through the phone. Rose washes knives at the sink when she notices Lorenzo. She immediately turns away from him after she shyly smirks. Stop it, Lorenzo, says Rose. Lorenzo laughs. What? I just want to see that beautiful face. Rose looks back at him with dark, seductive eyes, but hides part of her face behind her shoulder. Oh, I like that, says Lorenzo. Yeah, says Rose. Lorenzo nods and holds a thumb up high above the camera. Rose smiles before she walks to the kitchen counter island where she starts to clean shrimp. What are you doing there, Rose, my baby? I'm cleaning shrimp, Lorenzo, my baby. And why are you doing that? Because I'm a good wife, says Rose. Lorenzo smiles. Rose smiles back, not missing a beat. She slices down the center spinal column of the shrimp, rips the shell and legs off, and deveins it before placing the flesh in one pile and the shells in another. Yes, you are, says Lorenzo. Rose smiles and shyly. Rose smiles a shy smile again. Lorenzo. So, I've been meaning to ask you about something. Rose looks worried. What? Take it easy. I'm not going to grill you about your ex-boyfriend. Rose wipes her forehead with her wrist, relief. Whew. Well, that's good, because as you know, you're the only man I've ever been with. Lorenzo laughs. Rose laughs with him. Yeah, right. What? I'm serious, says Rose. My ass, says Lorenzo. But no, there is something I've always been curious about. I know you know what I'm talking about, too. Rose rolls her eyes. Why, Lorenzo? Don't get mad. I just want to know a little, says Lorenzo. Rose washes her hands, then pulls a knife out of the dish rack. She waves it at Lorenzo with one eye open. Then she grabs a glass of white wine from another counter and takes a drink. Lorenzo, just one teensy-weensy little question, then I'll never ask you about her again. Rose stabs the knife into the cutting board and it stands up. Lorenzo is startled. I doubt that, but fine. What do you want to know about her? Exterior, street, day. Lily, also 26, a complete replica of Rose, walks a metropolitan street in a tall black platform shoes and fishnet stockings. Her makeup looks of an Addams Family character, and she dresses in a black skirt and black and white vest with nothing under. Males and females alike walk past her in business attire and pantsuits. They collectively move out of her way as she passes like she is the plague. She stares forward into the sun with her pitch black shades and death metal rock music blaring in her ear without a care in the world. She turns the corner, leaving everyone in her path behind her staring. Interior. Dr. Gregory's office lobby. Day. Lily closes the door behind her and walks to the only desk in the room. The receptionist, 22, writes on a desk calendar while she simultaneously talks on the phone. She looks up at Rose, and her surprised look mixed with fear cannot be masked. She covers the phone. "Hi, can I help you?" "What?" says Lily. Lily takes off one earpiece. "How can I help you, ma'am?" Lily smirks. "Ma'am?" "Whatever. I'm Lily Shapiro. I got a 130 with a doctor named, starts with a G, I think." Lily pulls out a paper from a jet black fanny pack on her hip and hands it to the receptionist. The receptionist takes and scans it before she hands it back to her. "Dr. Gregory, okay. If you'll have a seat, I'll let him know you're here." Lily shrugs her shoulders, then walks around the office. She looks at the paintings on the wall and sees the magazines on the end tables. The receptionist hangs up her phone, her call, and watches Lily, not sure what to think of her. Lily looks back at the receptionist as she reaches the snack table that has chips, cookies, and various drinks. "Free?" says Lily. The receptionist gives her a reluctant smile. "Please." Lily shrugs her shoulders again, then starts to stuff bags of cookies into her jacket pocket. Right then, Dr. Gregory, 40, a big black man, walks out of his office with Siriana. "Dr. Gregory, Mrs. Siriana, have a great week, okay? If you need me for anything, please contact me on my cell." Dr. Gregory hands Siriana his business card. Lily sees this and rolls her eyes. Siriana walks out of the office. Dr. Gregory interrupts. "Lily!" Lily looks over at the doctor. Yeah? "Please come in," says Dr. Gregory. Lily walks through the lobby, past the receptionist. The two lock eyes. Then Lily puts her tongue in between her two fingers and licks up and down. The receptionist looks down immediately. Interior. Dr. Gregory's office. Continuous. The office walls are pastel green with white borders that match the furniture, and there is a bookshelf covered with psychology, sociology, and self-help novels by various authors. Dr. Gregory takes a seat close to his dark oak desk and watches Lily as she takes in the office. He writes something on a piece of paper. "All right, Ms. Shapiro. I'm Dr." Lily interrupts. Mrs. Shapiro? "That's my no-good mother, Lily." "All right, Lily, how are you?" "Fine." "Good. Glad to hear that." Lily looks around from her seat, then eventually she looks to the doctor, who stares at her over the top of the rim of his glasses. Lily shifts her eyes from side to side. "What?" "I said I'm fine." "I heard you," says Dr. Gregory. "Okay, then why are you staring at me?" Well, we were talking, weren't we?" Lily laughs. "Why are you laughing?" says Dr. Gregory. "Because this is ridiculous." "This conversation is ridiculous?" "Yeah." "Well, you and I both know if we weren't having this conversation, then you'd be in jail for solicitation of prostitution." "Whatever," says Lily. "So, since this is court ordered and we have to be here, why don't we try to accomplish something?" "Like what?" says Lily. "You tell me." Lily looks out the window. Dr. Gregory. "Okay, well, you told the judge of the problems you had in the home with your parents." Okay, "Well, you told the judge of problems in the home with your parents." Lily. I needed an excuse to get sympathy out of the old fart. He was a tight ass. Right. The doctor looks over her file. Okay, it says here you have a twin sister. How's your relationship with her?" Lily folds her arms and looks out the nearest window. "Fuck her!" The conversation will go back and forth between Lily and Rose's house without interruption. Interior, Rose's house, kitchen, day. Rose places vegetables into a hot frying pan. "No, fuck her!" Lorenzo walks around the kitchen. He captures video footage of the food, but his main focus is on Rose. Yeah, I heard that before, but now I want to know what really happened. There's nothing to say, says Rose. She resents me because we are successful, and I live in a big house in the suburbs, and she's a fucking dope fiend whore who sells her body and lives on the street. Okay, says Lorenzo, but why, babe? Why would she choose to live that life? You guys had both parents in the family, a loving family from what I've seen, no weird porn or molestation to be heard of, no child abuse. What makes two vibrant young girls from a good family go in two entirely different directions? Lily looks out at a window. Well, where do I start, Doc? Ever since we were little shits, whether it's in school or sports, Rose just had to be the center of attention. Believe it or not, I was the one with the better grades. I was the one that scored the most goals in sports, but no matter what I did, she was the one that was always honored. Student of the month, most valuable player on the team. It was Rose sautés vegetables in the frying pan. Fucking ridiculous how jealous she was of me. Fucking ridiculous how jealous she was of every little thing I accomplished. You'd think she'd be happy for her little sister, but no. She resented me, and she was bitter. She was a bitter little bitch. That was until I started going downhill. Downhill, says Lorenzo. Lily laughs in the doctor's office. Yeah, she finally got a taste of the type of shit I endured since we were kids. And what was that, says Dr. Gregory. Ignored. Though not for a while. She got an athletic scholarship to Boston College, and I was a starter on the women's soccer team. And she was a starter on the women's soccer team in her freshman year. She had a superstar athlete boyfriend that was the captain of the male team and was on the dean's honor roll list, all that shit. Life was perfect for little Miss Rose, as usual, while I had to work my ass off at a fucking state college. Anyway, one night, as some of her and her team mates were coming back from In-N-Out Burger, a drunk driver hit Rose's car and almost killed her. Her teammates were all fine, but Rose's bottom half was broken. Femur, hip, both feet, everything. Long story short, she lost everything. The scholarship, the team, even that shitty-ass boyfriend of hers left her when he thought she'd never walk again. Wow, that sounds horrible. So what does she do? Rose pulls steak out of the refrigerator and places the package on the counter. She grabs a butcher knife from the rack of knives and then starts to slice into steak. I couldn't do shit for a year, and I couldn't afford to live on the other side of the country with no job, so I went back home and cried for the better part of every day. Why didn't you tell me all this, says Lorenzo. Rose stops, then continues to cut the steak. I'm telling you now, those are some dark times, and I'm embarrassed to say, but I started abusing meds. Back at the doctor's office, Lily laughs. She was a fucking drug addict. And now Miss Goody Two Shoes, the twin my parents idolized, was nothing but a pill popping doper. Hero to a zero in 3 seconds. And how are you during this time? Says Dr. Gregory. Oh, I was on cloud nine. My parents were giving up on the prom queen, and we were finally starting to give the ugly duckling a chance in the sun. So you think your parents abandoned her once things went south for her? Hell yeah. They've always picked sides. Back at Rose's house, Rose stands next to the stove with a glass of wine. She puts the glass down. Yeah, fucking right. My parents would never do no shit like that. I was left alone a lot more, but it's not like I could go out of the house and kick the ball around. The more I was alone, the more pills I took. And soon I was lashing out at Lily and my parents when they tried to intervene. Anyway, one day, my mom had enough and put me in a rehab facility. I worked my ass off in that place and tried to figure out how the fuck I got there in the first place. And if there's one thing Lily got me on, and she said this from when we were little, I put way too much emphasis on accomplishing things. I never stopped and smelled the roses, no pun intended. It was just set a goal, reach a goal, then set the next one. I learned how to slow down and find purpose and vocation, then learn the craft and go from there. Back in doctor's office, Lily looks at the wall of books. Dr. Gregory looks at the books, then back at Lily. Dr. Gregory, well, that's great. It looks like she was able to pull her way out of the drug abuse. Lily slowly turns and looks at Dr. Gregory. What are you trying to say? Nothing. I mean, that's good on her, right? You think just because she stopped using pills, she's a fucking saint? No, I don't know. Well, she ain't, says Lily. Who do you think gave me my first hit? Wait, says Dr. Gregory. Rose gave you drugs for the first time? Lily raises her eyebrow back at Rose's house. Lorenzo looks at Rose from behind the camera. You what? I was fucking high as a kite myself when I did it, says Rose. Honey, Lily is fucked up on those things to this day. You think I don't know that? You think I wanted that? Anyway, it's her fucking fault for taking them. She was an adult, remember? Lorenzo looks at Rose while she flips the steak in the pan. Interior doc, in back at Dr. Gregory's office, Lily brings her hands out of her side and leans from side to side like she's an airplane. I can still remember when the first hit came over me. It was such a rush. Woo! Dr. Gregory looks at Lily. I feel so good on him, Doc. Like I don't have a care in the world. I didn't have a care in the world. Not anymore. From then on, my only objective was to get high. I said, fuck school. Fuck the boy I was with. Fuck Rose. Fuck my parents, too. Shit, they kicked me out anyway. Your parents kicked you out of the house? Back at Rose's house, Rose starts to chop vegetables and place them into a salad bowl. Fuck yeah, they kicked her out, says Rose. She stole my mom's car and tried to sell it to buy drugs. The hell else were they supposed to do? Damn, says Lorenzo. But it got worse. When I came out of rehab, Lily took one look at me and didn't see the drug demon in my eyes anymore, and she fucking lost it. She probably wanted me to die in that gutter somewhere. She probably wanted me to die in the gutter somewhere. But yeah, she was spiraling downhill after that. Dr. Gregory's office. Lily rolls her eyes. I said, here we go again. The fucking princess is back. The more she did when she got out, the more I wanted to rebel. What do you mean? Says Dr. Gregory. Well, she got clean. She took online classes and finished her fucking degree. Then of all things, she hits it big on social media with her stupid fucking cooking videos. And now she's some personal chef to the stars? The luck on this bitch. Back at Rose's, Rose dresses the salad with olive oil, salt, and pepper. Crazy, I know, says Rose. But I damn near killed myself starting this business. You know, we almost didn't even make it because of all the demands it had on me in the beginning. So I'm not gonna apologize for that shit. Besides, my parents took her to the same facility I went to for rehab, and what did she do? Back at Dr. Gregory's office, Lily waves her hand in the air. I blew out that fucking place. All the counselors kept asking me about Rose. Where is Rose? How is Rosie doing? Oh my God, did you see that Rose cooked for Oprah? They didn't give a fuck about my health or my sobriety. They just wanted to see their superstar come back home. Is that when you started with your street activities? Says Dr. Gregory. Lily looks at the doctor. You mean fuck for drugs? Yeah. Well, I met Ronnie, my daddy, my pimp. Then he squared me on the track with the other hoes. Dr. Gregory takes a deep breath. Do you ever think about getting sober? What do you think? What do you think I'm doing here? Well, this was court order. I mean, would you have come here if you weren't facing jail time? I don't know, says Lily. Why do you care? I'm just another vanilla folder to you anyway, right? Just some more cash in your pocket so you can take your, I'm sure, stunning wife out on a... Your stunning wife out and have a glass of wine laughing at the drug-addicted whore from work. Dr. Gregory shakes his head, then takes off his glasses and cleans them with his cardigan. Well, first off, yes, my wife is stunning. I'm sure she thanks you for the compliment, but I don't discuss patients' lives with her. As I'm sure you know, I take an oath to that. Besides that, your case and the other case I receive from the judge are part of my pro bono initiative. Lily laughs. Dr. Gregory is stoic and Lily stops. You're doing this for free? Dr. Gregory raises his eyebrow. Back at Rose's, Lorenzo follows Rose around while she sets the table. I do feel bad for Lily sometimes, though. Why? Says Lorenzo. Because. Well, you wouldn't understand because you're not a twin, but we feel the same about a lot of things. We're like connected on a deeper level. Okay. Forget it. No, tell me. I don't know, Lorenzo. Look, people are treated different in this life based on status, looks, money, you name it. But winners are winners and losers are losers. Lorenzo looks at his wife over the phone. Damn, babe. Rose interrupts. No, hear me out. The truth is, Lily was a better athlete than I was. She was technically a better student, too. But I wanted to be successful more than her. And I worked for it. I wanted friends, so I was social. I wanted to make food for a living, so I found a way to do it. Things came so easily for Lily that she never tried that hard. And when she had to put in effort in anything, she quit. And the drugs were just an excuse for her to have the life she wanted. Babe, you can't possibly believe that she wanted to be on the streets, says Lorenzo. Rose sips on her wine. Self-sabotage happens in many ways, Lorenzo, says Rose. Back at Dr. Gregory's office, Lily looks out the window. Rose is right about one thing, says Lily. I hate to admit it. What is that? Says Dr. Gregory. Advantages are given to some. And others? Shit. No matter where you come from, it's all about what you do with the time you have. Dr. Gregory looks over at the clock. I agree. But the question still remains, Lily. What are you going to do with the rest of your, with the rest of the time you have? I don't know, says Lily. I'm definitely not going to stop using drugs. And hey, I like fucking too, so maybe I am successful. Dr. Gregory stands and holds his hands out to shake Lily's. Lily looks at it, then looks up at Dr. Gregory before she gives him a firm handshake. Don't worry, Doc. I won't be around too much longer anyway. Lily walks to the door and then turns back to Dr. Gregory. Don't beat yourself up, Doc. Some people are just a piece of shit. Lily laughs. Dr. Gregory shakes his head. You know, you think between all these degrees you have to get to this level, you'd realize by now that not everybody wants to be saved. Some people just thrive in misery. Lily walks out of the office and Dr. Gregory watches her go back at Rose's. Rose and Lorenzo eat dinner at the table. Tragic, says Lorenzo. Yep, says Rose. Lorenzo, do you think after everything you guys have been through together, you could ever have a relationship again? Rose cuts a piece of steak while she looks at Lorenzo, then puts it into her mouth and chews. She's my sister, Lorenzo, my twin sister, family and blood. And I love her, but the end. Lily and Rose, ladies and gentlemen, Lily and Rose. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in this, right? With these two girls. You got one successful one not so successful. But I thought it interesting to make it that it wasn't always that way. I think, you know, and I'm not trying to preach about anything, but I think in life we have these type of situations within ourselves. We all have a Lily and a Rose in us. We have the one that, you know, at times that where we focus on our diet or our career or whatever have you, that may be your issue, you make advances because you work extremely hard. And then you have the other person where when you're sitting on the couch or when you're doing stuff that you're not supposed to do, you gain weight or you don't get the promotion at your job or you don't get the audition that you want or shit like that. You know, you allow yourself to sulk and you know, go backwards and stuff. But it's always some movement in life, right? You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. And this is just a tale of two girls that one decided to, you know, make something of her life and the other didn't. And she's okay with that. Some people are okay with that. They're okay with being exactly where they're at in life. And other people is always trying to strive. So I kick myself in the ass all the time because every day I'm like, why the fuck am I not better than I was yesterday? On days that I fuck up and other days when I do well, I'm happy that I did better than I did the day before. But it's always something that we always have to deal with. You know what I mean? So, like I said, no preaching here. This is just another thing. And I got into it. Once I started writing and I saw the dichotomy between the different personalities that exist within a human being. You know, so I thought it interesting. I thought it was interesting. I know I left you on a cliffhanger, like I always do. You don't know if the girls are going to get back together or anything like that. This is actually a first, maybe second draft. And we are actually going to shoot a version of this at this moment. I'm not exactly sure what version it's going to be, because our investor actually asked me and another writer, my friend, my homie, Gilbert G. Times, and he wrote his own version. Now, I'm more of a straightforward writer. My friend Gilbert is a more nuanced writer. So his depiction of the same story is a little bit different. But I think they're both really, really good. We're just going to have to figure out which one we're going to use. So when you do see this in the future, you'll know if we use this one or if we used Gilbert's. But yeah, that's what we got for today, man. So I really hope that you like the story. I hope that you find something interesting and something that you can take away from it for yourself. And I appreciate you for listening, man. Sometimes I come on here. I don't come on here that much because I realize that, you know, I don't share as many stories as I used to all the time, because I want to come on here when I have like a decent script or something like that. But just the fact that people are still listening is quite alarming to me. 18, and I looked at I was able to see the views from 18 today, and it's so crazy to think that many people are still listening to these things. So, hope you like it. And, I hope it, made something for you and it resonated with you. And, that's it, man. So that's another episode of Dialogue Heavy. Lily and Rose will get back at you with some more stuff soon. And I'll definitely let you guys know when and where you can catch this stuff. These things that I'm talking about, where they can be shot, when they're going to be available. But for now, I have that same guy, Gilbert, wrote and directed a film that he casted me in. I'm so blessed to have been able to get that. And yeah, so that's called Moving On. And we shot that. And we got one more day of shooting next week. And we're going to do that and get that in the can. And hopefully I'll be able to get that out. So write me on my Instagram at Michael the Creator. Or my email is mzzack199@gmail.com, mzzack199@gmail.com. And I'll be able to give you more information when you want to get it. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. Have a nice one. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. I'm out of this bitch. Peace.